Welcome to the Queen City Preachers Podcast. I'm Pastor Andrew.
And I'm Pastor Molly.
And we're here at Messiah Lutheran Church on this beautiful, beautiful...
Very cold.
December 22nd.
Snowy cold.
The week of Christmas and Christmas Eve.
Tis the week.
Tis the season. Tis the week.
Yes. Yeah. We woke up to some snow this morning. Shout out to my neighbor for snow blowing my driveway so I could leave this morning.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, neighbors.
Yeah, if you know who you are. Shout out to you.
but this is a crazy season. It's a busy season. It's a delightful season.
Tis.
Tis
almost over. Season.
Well, yeah, we get 2 weeks of Christmas, post-Christmas, right? I mean, in the church year at least.
The 12 days of Christmas.
12 days of Christmas until Epiphany. So,
yeah. So you leave your tree up for the full 12 days of Christmas.
Totally. Or
and then some.
Yeah, or if, like in my family growing up, you split the gifts like half on Christmas, half on Epiphany.
Oh.
So
we had to wait.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Which, you know, was not great as a kid, but was also great because then you got round two.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool that way. So,
I really had a real religious enthusiastic moment.
Yeah.
In my childhood, where I realized that Santa wasn't real.
What?
Yeah, there came a point, and I was probably in fifth grade too.
Okay.
And I decided that all of the Christmas presents, since Santa wasn't giving the Christmas presents, should come from the angel Gabriel.
Sweet.
So 1 year, I had made my mom.
Dress up as Angel Gabriel?
No. I made her write all that all the presents were from the Angel Gabriel.
Wow. All right.
Because that made more sense. Because the angel is bringing glad tidings.
Right.
A gift to Mary. And why wouldn't the angel also be bringing you presents?
Besides which, they're already up in the heavens and down on earth. Like, transit isn't an issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, okay. All right. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good
logic.
It made
sense to me.
It's good logic.
It seemed right. It seemed more historically accurate.
Cool. So speaking of historical accuracy, we're going to take a little Christmas break here. And I think we did this last year, too, the Christmas quiz, and kind of go through what's in which gospel. Test ourselves on this. Neither Pastor Molly nor myself have actually looked at this in advance. So hopefully we'll get them right.
I don't. I get them all mixed up,
right?
All the gospels.
I mean, it happens. Mm-hmm. It happens. So we're gonna navigate through these questions. And the Christmas story, and I guess some of that has to deal with historical accuracy / scriptural accuracy and what we remember or not.
Yeah, scriptural accuracy. We had a great debate this week over, wasn't really a debate, it was a conversation, about what was Jesus actually born into? Where was he birthed?
Where was he birthed? Because the scriptures, we as a society and as a church, we often say, well, there was no room in the inn and he was born in a stable. Mm-hmm.
In the feeding trough, in a manger.
And manger is true, but the word that's used for the location is cataluma, meaning there was no room in the guest room. Mm-hmm. And so they actually probably ended up in the living quarters of the house where the animals would have resided at night.
Explain the house a little more there.
So it's a one-room house in a Palestinian community. So the main floor has space for animals. So then they come in at night and they go out. But there is probably a slightly elevated portion to that floor that's 4 or 5 feet above the ground, which is the main living quarters for the family. So that's where they would cook and sleep and all of that. But then on the floor, animals would come in at night for safety as well as for comfort and warmth. And then they would be shooed out in the morning. So odds are, scholars believe that in the context of this story, that there was no room in the guest room, kataluma, which is what gets interpreted as inn, but it's guest room, which is the only other place this is used is in Luke, is actually go prepare a room for me, the upper room, the guest room.
The upper room.
Yeah. So that's the context. So whereas with the story of the Good Samaritan, mm-hmm. it's a totally different word for inn. So that's part. Yeah, yeah. So that's part of this context here. So
So fun fact, they're
probably actually in a home and they're in essentially the living room, but the living room is used as an animal, a place for animals at night. But they're not out in the cold and they're not in a stable, probably. They're not actually relegated. And there's some interesting tie-ins to here, because if you might remember from this last week's story and even the last few weeks' stories, Elizabeth and Zechariah are Mary's family. Mm-hmm. They live in the Judean hillside, which is not far from Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. So in reality, they have a place to go if they don't actually have a place in Bethlehem. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And besides which, Joseph is of David, so like, politically, he should be welcome in almost anybody's home. Mm-hmm. Like, there's reasons to believe that, like, this story is pushing the edges about hospitality rather than what we normally think of as inhospitality. Mm-hmm. That in reality, this story is about welcome. In a profound way. So anyway, that's an aside, that a rabbit hole we went down earlier this week, and we're going to dive into the quiz.
Let's do the quiz.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. No, totally cool. All right, so question number one. Angels announce the birth of Jesus to shepherds in the field. Do, 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 do. Which gospel is it?
Luke?
It's Luke.
Yeah.
Luke's got the shepherds. Other fun fact, shepherds in their fields probably means this was actually during the summertime. Because shepherds would only stay out in the fields at night in the summer.
No,
they wouldn't do that
in
the wintertime.
In the bleak midwinter.
In the bleak midwinter.
Many moons ago.
So it's powerful, isn't it? To think, I mean, like, thinking about this in that way, that like, okay, well, there's accuracy and then there's challenges too. Mm-hmm. All right. So question number two. Joseph has dreams.
Ooh. Joseph has dreams.
Where does Joseph have dreams?
Matthew?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Good. I did not know that one.
Matthew, we get him having a dream, and the angel appears to him in a dream.
Yes.
And he hears all about this. So, we get Joseph and Matthew. We get Mary and Luke.
Luke. Okay.
So, yep. So, good old Joe.
Yeah. Luke. Good job, Luke. You had a Mary bent.
Right. Which, by the way, just you know, fun thinking about this. Joseph and dreams, right? Joseph was the interpreter of dreams.
Yes.
And so this is an interesting tie-in to Old Testament stories.
You know, and like in the names, the connection between names and your name is meaningful and your name represents kind of what's going to happen to you or that kind of a situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally.
So that makes sense.
All right. Three, Jesus is the pre-existent word of God.
Oh, the easy one. John.
John.
Yeah.
Our Gnostic, mystical John. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God.
And the word was with God.
Yeah.
And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. John. The way, the truth, the light. All right. So John, if there's imagery being used, odds are John.
Imagery and light. I wonder if we get the light imagery.
Yeah.
One of my friends messaged me this week because I had told them. So I had an incident last week where I got pulled over for the first time ever.
Yeah.
And it was because my lights weren't on in my car and they haven't been on for months.
So backstory, Molly has a car that is newish to her now.
I've owned it for over a year.
But she did not realize, at least recently, that there were lights beyond the running lights.
They were, I think, on before, but somehow they got turned off, and I just thought, like, they were on. I just thought they were on. And
totally.
I also,
I've done that before, too.
I also convinced myself that since I was turning 30 this year, I was, you know, just, like, getting older, and, like, I couldn't see at night anymore. Night blindness.
So on the bright side.
I don't have night blindness. The light shines in the darkness. And as long as you have the automatic lights turned on.
Amen. Amen.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
According to the gospel, according to John and Molly, turn your lights on.
Turn your lights on. And the police officer had to show me how to turn the lights on. That's what was the saddest part.
We give thanks for the officer.
No ticket, just a little bit of being ashamed.
Oh. Yeah, 'tis the season for humbling, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, humility.
Mm-hmm. Humility. Oh, man. All right. Question four. So the story begins with John the Baptizer's preaching and baptizing.
Also John? No, Mark.
Mark. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is Marky Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark. So
hops right in.
Mark hops in. Jesus is an adult. There is no childhood narrative in Mark.
No sweet.
Same
Jesus.
In John, right?
I mean, that's true. Except he is the nebulous. He's
nebulous.
Beginning and end and all
he
things.
Is the yeah. Yeah. John ties it back into Genesis pretty much.
It depends on
Mark
what your
ties
sweet,
it to
your sweet childhood story is, right?
Right. That's true.
Were you a nebulous light at the beginning of time?
Ooh.
Or are you just an adult? You just wake up one day and you're an adult. That happens to some of us.
Merry Christmas, y'all. No. So, Yeah, Mark. So Mark and John the Baptist, which is really kind of, so just thinking about this, it's kind of funky because like we've been living with Luke this year in Advent and we get John the Baptist, right?
But oh my gosh, over and over again. I'm so tired of John. Sorry, John.
But like in Mark, it's off to the races with John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is fast and, but it's not the backstory of John the Baptist. It's John the Baptist as an adult. There's no Zechariah, no Elizabeth, no, none of that, right?
Come on, Mark. That's such a great part of the story.
I know. No, Magnificat. I mean, so anyway. All right. So question five. Jesus is descended from Adam, the son of God.
Adam's not the son of God.
Oh, Adam, the son of God.
None.
Yeah, because Adam is not the son of God.
He's the just a man.
Right. Genealogy, though, there is only one gospel with a genealogy. Matthew. So there is a genealogy given in one of the Gospels, but Adam's not the son of God.
No. So yes and no.
Yes and no.
Matthew and none.
Yeah. So trick question? No. I mean, you could argue that Adam is the son of God because he's the first human being, but Adam is not, quote, the son of God. So does not really work.
We're all children of the Heavenly Father.
Oh, there you go. Bringing a hymn into this.
I love a good hymn quote.
Yeah. And in reality, you know, we really get back to Abraham in Matthew. I'm not sure we go all the way back to Adam, but like, anyway.
In the beginning, there was Abraham.
And Abraham.
And we don't
many
speak
sons,
of what happened
many
before
sons
him.
Had father Abraham. No, yeah, we don't. Yeah.
Well, and Noah, the whole situation. Yes.
Oh, man.
A little bit of a bleak spot there, you know.
Yeah, so.
God made some choices, and they weren't always good.
Yeah. We should do a series on funkiness in the Old Testament at some point. That would be kind of interesting.
Strange stories.
Strange stories from the Old Testament.
Strange stories of the Old Testament.
We should do that. That would be fun.
That would be fun.
There's some funky stories.
I think the Mandrake one is my favorite.
Okay, y'all, did you know there's a mandrake in the Bible?
Yeah. Where what? It's Sarah. Sarah, like, gives the mandrakes or something. No, wait. It's not Sarah. It's Rachel.
Yes.
Rachel and Rebecca.
Yes.
Yeah, Rebecca and Isaac and Rachel. And Rachel says...
It's in that family tree, though.
Yeah, that's the situation. Because Rachel wants to have more children, so... She says, I'll give you my mandrakes if, like, I can have some time with Isaac. Is it Isaac?
Rachel. Isaac and Rebecca, Rachel and Jacob.
Rachel and Jacob. Okay, never mind. Just let's move on.
Anyway, there's funkiness.
They're all mixed up.
All right.
Okay.
So Joseph, Mary, and Jesus go into hiding in Egypt.
Is that a Luke?
I believe that is Luke. Is that Luke? Let me double check because, you know, let's see. Actually?
Or is it Matthew?
I think that might be Matthew. I think it's Matthew that they flee. Yeah, I think it's Matthew.
Okay.
Check in here, guys. This is, so, you know, fun fact. Pastors don't remember at all.
Obviously, with my mix up of all the
headlights?
Patriarchs.
Oh, no, sorry.
The headlights. Ouch. Ouch.
Yeah, it's Matthew. It's in the second chapter of Matthew. Okay. All right. So So Matthew, they go to Egypt,
it's
which
the massacre of the infants.
Yeah. So speaking of which, this is actually a great time to mention the timeline. That the timeline is totally wonky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't try to make sense. Like, we often think like, hey, they get to Bethlehem that same night. Mary gives birth. Blah blah blah. Yeah, probably not. It's probably been a while.
Then the shepherds come. They said her time has come.
Right, her time has come while they're in Bethlehem. Does that mean a day, a month, a couple months? We don't really know, right?
Yeah.
Wise people come. I hate to say this. It's probably actually like maybe years later. Probably not actually in Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
In Nazareth, they're back home at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's timeline. We smash it all together in the traditions of Christmas Eve.
Because it's convenient.
It is, yeah. And it's delightful, and we want that joy and that celebration, and honestly, it's worth doing.
I think it's because we all like a party, and the idea that, like, everybody was all there together having this, like, party.
I know.
Just, like, a good, like, we cling on to that.
We do. We
want that.
We, in the background, we hear the sparklers and the champagne popping. Like, we know this is going on.
Festive hors d'oeuvres.
Festive hors d'oeuvres.
There might be a cheese plate
passed by a donkey. Yeah, totally. The wise people brought figs and other things. I mean, it was great. It was a good time.
Yeah, the shepherds actually showed up with Christmas cookies.
Sweet. Yeah. But what kind?
Traditional.
Traditional.
Just traditional. They did the flooding of the royal icing. They're all, you know.
Oh, the flooding of the royal icing.
Yes.
Man.
They're actually good bakers.
That does not surprise me.
Shepherds out in their field by night baking Christmas cookies.
They get in early in the morning. They're like, it's baking time, people.
It's time.
All right. So Christmas cookies aside, next question. An angel announces the conception of John the Baptizer to Zechariah.
Luke,
yeah, we've recently had these, right?
Yeah.
And the next one, similar, right? Mary visits a pregnant Elizabeth.
Also Luke.
Pro tip here, Zechariah, Elizabeth, Luke.
All Luke.
Right?
All Luke.
All Luke all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Magi. Magi from the east visit Jerusalem and Bethlehem.
Matthew.
Yes. Correct.
Okay, I thought you had something else.
Shepherds and Luke. Wise people. So fun fact with this, like, right, like that we don't know how many there are, right? We think about it as three, but that's because there are three gifts listed. But there could be 10, 20, 30.
There are a few that forgot to bring a gift.
Right. Or they brought repetitive gifts. So it was, you know, everybody.
Just a whole bunch of
nobody talked to each other. They were like, you got it too? Dang it.
Oh my gosh. You also brought myrrh?
Yeah. Jeez, guys. Why didn't we talk about
this? I told you I was going to bring myrrh. Right. Why didn't they just have a registry, you know?
Right. And this is clearly why we traditionally consider these as men. They did not talk about it. They did not plan ahead. It was a total failure. If it had been women.
Yeah.
No, I'm just.
They came to the baby shower.
It could have
been
wise people. We don't
know.
We do not know the gender. We don't know the gender. It's
just,
not given.
They were just people.
So, right.
Just
totally.
People.
So anyway, the Magi from the East. Which also, fun fact, the East just means that if they are if they're in Bethlehem, it could just mean across the Jordan River.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we often think about this as meaning really far away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often described, but it's really not until the second century in somebody else's writing, I think it's Justin or something like that, like, writes about this and considers them from Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
But the East literally just means across the river.
Mm.
So we don't
there
really
are wise
know.
People everywhere.
So we don't know how far they've really come.
Hmm.
So this is actually just a fun thing to think about with this little rabbit hole here, is that if the Magi came to celebrate and they came from just across town, what does that mean versus from far away?
Hmm.
The far away we normally think of like, oh my gosh, it means that he was really holy because people knew about this.
And
whereas the across town could also mean like, wait, Jesus is welcomed by the people from the other side of the tracks, right?
That's true.
From the other side of the river.
But I also think
I like that
that because they follow the star somewhere.
Right.
You assume it's a journey because of that. And also because they go to Jerusalem first, right?
Right. Yeah.
So
they've come a little ways at least.
Yeah.
But we just don't really know.
Interesting way to think about it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's also kind of tough because they're the ones who are like generally depicted as like Middle Eastern when like everybody's Middle Eastern.
Right. They all are. Yeah. Yeah. It's oof. Talk about culturally insensitive.
Oof.
Right. Anyway. Jesus is descended from Abraham and David. We already went there.
Told this one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that is Matthew. Totally. We also mentioned this one. The gospel doesn't mention Jesus before his adult ministry.
Mark.
Marcos. Yes. Mark. All right. And 12, Mary sings the Magnificat.
You already told us this one,
I know. And we got it on Sunday.
Luke.
Luke, I love me the Magnificat. Mm-hmm. All right. The birth of Jesus is dated by the mention of Augustus and Quirinius.
Oh.
Ooh.
Is that also Matthew?
I believe so. I believe so. Oh, nope, nope. That's Luke. Luke 2.
Okay.
Luke 2. And actually, does Matthew give us a date? I don't know. That's a really interesting question. Does Matthew actually... We get the genealogy in Matthew. Nope. We get no date. No date.
Okay.
Just the time of King Herod.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Which is a date in and of
which
itself.
Is a date, which actually mm-hmm. answers the next question.
Yeah. The first Herod, and then it's his son, right?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Trying to keep the Herod straight.
Yeah. So, back to Matthew. Herod's soldiers slaughter toddlers.
Oof. It is brutal.
Ooh. Which, going back, right, it's that connection between Old Testament and New Testament, which that's what the Pharaoh does. You know, when he's trying to get rid of the Israelites, when there's too many Israelites, and when people are feeling threatened, they kill 2-year-olds.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's
which also a sign that this is happening later.
Right. Yep.
That it would have been 2 and under.
Yep. So there's some time given to that. Baby Jesus is wrapped in cloths and placed in a feed box.
Hmm.
Not really a feed box per se. Manger, hole in the ground.
Is that a Luke one?
That would be Luke.
Okay.
By the way, the wrapping in the this also gives us context geographically, because apparently in historical writings and culturally in Palestine, the wrapping and the swaddling that's the cultural norm there. So
doesn't everybody do that?
I think so, but everybody has different ways of like doing it. So I don't know.
I mean, we do that too.
Right. Did we get it from Palestine?
Everybody does a little baby burrito.
I mean,
there's a baby burrito in every culture.
Right? Teo loves himself a good burrito.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's so cute when he's swaddled. But like, I think it fits the context.
Right.
So
we'll do some further research on that one.
Yeah. An angel announces Jesus' birth to Mary.
Luke,
right?
Luke. Yep.
All right. So remember, Joseph gets the angel in Matthew. Luke gets the angel Mary gets the angel in Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. All right. A special baby is born to old and previously barren parents.
Also Luke.
Luke.
Yep.
When in doubt, Luke for birth narrative stories, right?
Old Elizabeth and Zechariah.
Yep.
The old barren ones.
Oh. Yeah. So, which is a powerful story.
But also Genesis. Right?
Also Genesis. Sarah and Abraham. Yep. So that's one of the things to remember is that in these gospel stories, there is so much, whether it be ties to Isaiah and prophecy, whether it be ties to Genesis and Abraham and Sarah,
mm-hmm.
Whether it be ties to Ruth and Naomi.
What are you thinking with that one?
Elizabeth and Mary. Like that
gotcha.
There are connections to Old Testament stories.
Yeah.
That are really woven into the gospel mm-hmm. into the birth stories.
Right.
So
because we came to bring good news
right.
to God's chosen people first and then to everybody else. And so they gotta get God's chosen people on board and
they do, and they bring them in with the story.
Of their stories.
Yep, they do. So this mm-hmm. is this a way of learning how to accept somebody into a community that most often we have to learn one another's languages mm-hmm. and learn
find
trust
those commonalities.
That commonality
mm-hmm.
right
mm-hmm.
you know I gotta wear flannel comfortably to be welcomed into the UP.
I'm wearing my flannel today.
Nice, rocking the flannel.
Mm-hmm.
yeah so there's that.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. A star announces the birth of the king of the Jews to Eastern astrologers.
Matthew.
Yeah. So Matthew, although we don't astrologer, There's some loose interpretation.
I mean, are they astrologers? Are they? What are they? Follow a star?
I know. The linguistics of this are kind of interesting.
Yeah, where does their wisdom truly lie?
We don't know.
Question mark.
Yeah, question mark, question mark, question mark.
We got a lot of questions about those wise folks.
Right. Mm-hmm. Are they mages, a la Witcher? I mean, like, what's going on in this? Who knows?
I've never seen that show, so I can't say.
You can't say. It's kind of, you know.
It's intense?
It's intense, but, but you know, Henry Cavill vocal frying himself is kind of entertaining. he speaks in a very low voice the entire time, which is really powerful. Well, it works, but I kind of wonder what he's done to his voice. But anyway, that's a whole aside.
Okay.
Okay. Similarly, a star leads the Magi to the infant Jesus in Bethlehem's stable.
Also Matthew.
So Matthew, just thinking about this, where is Jesus when they find him? Because the final question on the quiz is where do the shepherds going to Bethlehem's stable, right?
Oh, so that one's maybe a nun.
Yep.
Ah, okay.
So the trick born question. In Bethlehem, it is the reality is, they sent them to Bethlehem, but the question is whether or not that's where they actually find him.
Okay.
And is he in a stable? No, probably not.
The house, they saw the child with Mary and his mother. And they knelt down and paid him homage.
Yep. So this is another argument for them staying in a home and being in the living room, like I mentioned. Or it's an argument that this is a much later time frame and they're actually back home.
Yeah, because it doesn't say where. It just says over the place where the child was.
Correct.
It's vague.
It is vague. It is vague. So we don't really know fully. I mean, that it may be Bethlehem and maybe that home that they're staying in. We don't know who their hosts are. So the answer to that is yes and maybe not.
And it could be real that they didn't leave Bethlehem for a while because you have a newborn baby. You're not like, well, let's go take that 70-mile trip back home.
Oh, my gosh. 70-mile with a newborn?
Yeah.
Oof.
You're like, on a donkey. Ain't no car seats.
Yeah, and Mary is like, my hips are not doing this.
Not feeling like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, not feeling
not
this.
Not feeling that.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Joseph would be a jerk to make her do that. Just going to say that.
We don't have a lot to say about Joseph.
No, no. I'm hopeful that he's a good guy and supportive. I mean,
he listened to his dreams.
He did.
So
I mean, he was going to dismiss her.
Quietly. He's going to dismiss her quietly.
Which I guess is kind of nice rather than publicly. I don't know.
It ain't great, but it ain't the worst of the worst either.
No, it's trying to help her save face in a culture where that would not be the norm.
Yeah, but he also doesn't really want anything to do with her. So.
I know. It's a hot mess of a story,
feelings.
Right?
Mixed feelings about old
totally
Joseph.
A mixed bag here.
The hero of the story is Mary.
Right.
Joseph is just there.
Joseph is the sidekick.
Mm-hmm. Just as Zachariah
who gets
is
kicked
to
the side, right? Yeah. I mean, like,
He's basic, there for the name and the lineage.
He's there for the name and lineage. Basically, guys, Joseph is in this story because they needed a dad who wasn't God. And, Joe.
All right. Our last question.
Shepherds visit Mary, Joseph, and Jesus in Bethlehem's stable.
Luke.
Luke. Mm-hmm. So we're back to Luke, that the shepherds are a Lucan mm-hmm. thing. And they do visit in wherever they are. Other thing why they're probably in a house, the shepherds don't say, hey, guys, you must be terribly uncomfortable. Come to our homes. Mm. They then go rejoicing and sharing the good news, right?
Yeah, like, they're not concerned
about them. So from that perspective, it's probably they're hanging out in somebody's house.
They're probably okay.
So, yeah.
So this Christmas season, don't worry.
They're
fine.
They're totally fine. They're cozy. Snug as a bug in a rug with some, critters.
They're warm. There was probably cookies and hot chocolate.
I mean, you think about it, that there's a family just upstairs hanging with them. They're not alone. Mm-hmm. And that's something to think about that is really powerful, is that we think about Jesus being born in a cold, dark night, all alone in a stable with just animals, which, speaking of which, you know, animals are more than just animals. They're wonderful. Yeah. But secondly, there's probably a family there. Hearing the screams of a newborn, being like, oh, this is hospitality, welcoming a newborn in our own home,
hey.
Right? Like, I mean, talk about welcome. Mm-hmm. how amazing is that? And yeah. and then that others come to that house and are welcomed mm-hmm. as well. I love that. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful story.
Yeah, that'll be a nice place for you to go.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah so
I'm focusing on Mary and Mary's chosenness. And
okay.
So.
Yeah, I haven't quite decided. I also really dig talking about the shepherds because they're kind of a motley crew and kind of fun. so we'll see.
Yeah.
Shepherds, hospitality. I don't know where I'll go. Somewhere. And
can you imagine, like, when you were having tail, if all of a sudden just like a bunch of shepherds right? showed up at the hospital and like we heard there was
something
baby.
Going on.
We heard there was a baby, and we thought we'd come check it out.
Yeah, and not just any baby. Some angels told us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Oof. Is this baby here?
Yeah. Think about like the protective mama bear instinct of like yeah. Mary and Joseph too. Like, oh, a lot of tension going on in these early days.
Yeah.
So anyway, Christmas story, just embrace it with all its messiness, all the literary, historical confusingness of it, and just yeah. live into the joy, the light, the
Enjoy
God
it.
Coming into the worldness mm-hmm. of it, because that's the importance of this story, mm-hmm. is that God came into the messiness and was part of it. Mm-hmm.
And it was a party.
Yeah. So remember that.
Minus the slaughter of infants.
Minus the slaughter of the infants.
That's not a great
party. Which might have been 2 years later, so we got a little bit of time to party.
Enjoy this night.
Enjoy this night. So, Merry Christmas, y'all.
You can wait
till
Epiphany for that one.
Yeah, yeah. Merry Christmas. Enjoy the season.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everybody. Yeah.
Celebrate, and yeah, enjoy the coziness of this and the warmth of this, because it's a story that has so much wonder and mystery and awe around it, but is also just wrapped in the beauty of humanity and of welcome. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that this Christmas season, whether you're alone, whether you're with family, whether you're traveling, however it is, that somehow you find that warmth and that space of welcome and of comfort, whether it be over the airwaves, whether it be with family, with critters, whatever it is, that you find that warmth of home and with the birth of Christ. So Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas.
And as a matter of housekeeping, we're going to take a couple-week break. We'll mm-hmm. see you back essentially the week of Epiphany. So, yeah. So,
all right.
So, blessings.
We'll revisit that slaughter of infants.
Unfortunately, we will. And maybe we'll dive into some of the historical connections and navigating a little bit of what does that actually mean? To have that be part of this story.
Yeah. So on that note,
on that
Merry
note,
Christmas,
Merry
everybody.
Christmas, y'all. You've been listening to the Queen City Preachers podcast. I'm Pastor Andrew.
I'm Pastor Molly.
Be well, friends.